Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
We begin in Baltimore, where the biggest underdog of the week, the Raiders, stunned the Ravens 26-23. Las Vegas was down 23-13 entering the fourth quarter. Gardner Minshew to Devontae Adams. Key to the comeback, a touchdown. Minshew had 276 yards in the air with that score in the win. Adams, 9 grabs for 110 yards. Breakout game for rookie tight end Brock Bowers, 9 grabs, 98 yards. Max Crosby, 2 sacks. Derrick Henry in a loss, 84 and a touchdown. Zay Flowers, 7 grabs, 91 yards and a touchdown for Baltimore, who got 2.5 sacks from Odafe Eloa. The Raiders host the Panthers on Sunday. Chance to get to 2-1. The Ravens are headed to Dallas trying to avoid 0-3. John Harbaugh on his message to his winless team.
Disappointing loss, tough loss. Could have gone our way for sure, but we didn't get the job done. 0-2. We are going to play a 17-game season, and we will be defined by the next 15 games. So that's going to be our objective, to play the best 15 games we can, be the best football team we can be.
Bad loss for Baltimore. They had one last year, too. Remember, they lost a game to Pittsburgh where Pittsburgh could barely manage a first down. And this one, they're up 10 against the team they're probably better than in almost every capacity. And yet, you look up at the end of the scoreboard, end of the day, the scoreboard, they had lost that game by a field goal, relinquishing a 10-point lead in the span of about 10 minutes. That is not very Baltimore-like. But for the Raiders, good for them. Sort of validating the program a little bit. They're trying to play this hard-ass, tough-as-nails, we're going to chew on cardboard and spit out machine gun fire. And they're doing that. They're doing their best in a division that's pretty complicated and tough. But Baltimore's 0-2 with it. Not that easy schedule to come.
Chargers bullied the Panthers 26-3. J.K. Dobbins ran for 131 yards, 17 attempts, back-to-back 100-yard games to start the season for J.K. Dobbins.
Dobbins trying to get to the edge. He's got a blocker. He's got more than a blocker. Inside the 25-20. Did the sprints help? Oh, boy. He somersets into the end zone. Touchdown.
Gus Edwards at 18 carries as far as former Ravens running backs go as well. Justin Herbert threw for 130 and 2 scores, both to Quentin Johnston, who had 6 grabs for 51 yards. Carolina's offense, anemic. Quarterback's obviously been benched since. 84 passing yards on 26 attempts will do that. Leading wide receiver was Adam Thielen, who went 2 for 20 through the air. The Chargers matching up with the Steelers. Someone's going to get to 3-0 this coming week. Meanwhile, the Panthers are in Vegas.
For the Chargers, very soft opening to the season. But again, it's validating the program. When Jim Harbaugh shows up, you're going to be better than you were. They would have found a way to have lost one of these two games over the last couple of seasons. This is what they do now. They're physical. They push you around. Dobbins deserves comeback player of the millennium, as far as I'm concerned, even if he does nothing else for the rest of the year. Just the fact that he's doing this after all the injuries that have happened, he's been the story through 2 weeks in the NFL.
Fast to 16 minutes on G&D. Let's get to the Saints lighting up the Cowboys. That's fun to say. 44-19 final in Dallas. New Orleans scoring on every single possession in the game. In fact, they've scored every single time they've had the ball through two games this season. Derek Carr's been great. 11 for 16, 243 yards and two touchdowns. Didn't even really break a sweat. Another 70-yard touchdown for him through the air in this game. He also ran for a score. So did Alvin Kamara three times. He ran for a 115, added 65 through the air, a 4-touchdown performance for Kamara.
Here's Kamara running right side. Surges in for the touchdown.
Try to gain it here on second down.
Pressure coming. They set up a screen. Oh, there's a lot of room. Alvin Kamara, room to roll. Alvin Kamara's going to score. Touchdown. Kamara, big hole, left side. Alvin Kamara sprinting towards the end zone. He is in. Touchdown, New Orleans. Kamara looking for his fourth touchdown of the game. Stays on his feet. Alvin Kamara's got four.
Kevin Burkhardt of Fox on the call. That's the A-team with Tom Brady. Dallas losing effort. CeeDee Lamb caught a 65-yard touchdown. Dak Prescott slinging it all game because they were behind big. Threw for 293 but was picked off twice.
Alvin, I'm a Kamara guy, but you heard Kevin Burkhardt clear as day say Kamara. Pronounce it however he wants it pronounced. That's 290 yards and 5 touchdowns through 2 weeks. New Orleans, the offensive renaissance. This is like prime Sean Payton, Drew Brees, all the weaponry that you'd ever want type offense. I think that's the third highest point total through 2 weeks in NFL history. They have been unbelievable on that side of the ball.
Bucks are a surprise 2-0 as well. Two teams in the NFC South.
Frisky.
Off to fast starts. They impressed in a 20-16 squeaker at the Lions in Detroit. Baker Mayfield threw a touchdown pass and ran for another.
First and 10 at the 11-yard line. Mayfield going to run again. Baker up the middle. Inside the 5. Mayfield lunging. Touchdown!
Kevin Kugler on the call on Fox. Chris Godwin caught 7 balls for a 117 and a tutty. The Bucs picked off Jared Goff twice. He also had 2 other interception throws dropped. Could have been a 4-pick game. Goff was not good. Jahmyr Gibbs ran for 84. Amon-Ra St. Brown, 11 catches for a 119. He got back on track. Dan Campbell ran a fake punt inside his own 20 that worked. That's the good news. There was an end-of-half debacle where the Lions had too many men on the field before a field goal, and a 10-second runoff cost them 3 points in a game that came down to the wire. The Bucs host the Broncos. Really good chance to be 3-0 after this weekend. The Lions go to the Cardinals. Arizona's not very fun to play.
Yeah, Goff, 55 pass attempts in this game. This is not who Detroit is. This is not what they've done over the last couple of seasons, where they've thumped it, run it right down your throat, and then hit you with some play action or, you know, some precision type stuff. Offense didn't quite look right in this game. The more the season goes on, if Tampa kind of keeps doing this, maybe the more credit you have to give to them as a team that felt underappreciated, quite frankly, coming off the year they had last year, multiple straight division crowns, and albeit a bad division, but that was a really impressive road win for Tampa.
The Packers got a gutsy 16-10 triumph over the Colts without Jordan Love. Malik Willis started for Green Bay, and they won. 12 completions for Willis, who didn't turn the ball over. The Packers ran for 261 yards. If you guys didn't see this game, it was a Mona Lisa from Matt LaFleur. I was texting with him, and I just said, take a bow, dude. He's like, hey, we just tried to ground and pound it. I mean, the design, the way that they operated in the backfield, it looked like a high school football offense. No exaggeration.
If you're 14 pass attempts.
If you're a high school coach in this area, watch that game and steal some stuff. Because they didn't throw it. They didn't push the ball down the field at all. They just bullied the Colts. Willis also said LaFleur deserves some credit.
I mean, it feels awesome. I just got to give all the glory to God for giving me this opportunity and just putting me in an environment where they could just help me, you know, not only get ready for the game, but just instill confidence in me and help me be the best that I can be.
So it said credits LaFleur. He credited God. I'm not saying LaFleur's God, but that was a godlike plan. So I will just say that.
There we go.
But 16-10 triumph over the Colts. Josh Jacobs, how about this 1991 stat line? 32 runs, 151 yards. That's 4.7 a pop. Willis had a 19-yard scramble, had 41 on the ground. For the Packers, 53 of 67 plays were runs. Just a muck fest. Anthony Richardson, 3 interceptions. Jonathan Taylor ran for 100 yards on 12 attempts. The Packers go back to Tennessee, LaFleur's old stomping grounds on Sunday. The Colts host the Bears in a someone-needs-a-win game.
Yeah, Green Bay needed that one. You need to do a couple things to stay afloat until Jordan Love comes back. That was a big win for them. For the Colts, Week one, they were right there with Houston going back and forth. Great ball game, 29-27. They end up losing that one. This is one you might be kicking yourself over. You give up 16 points, and you couldn't do more than that when you had your chances on offense. Richardson inaccurate. I think it was 50% completion percentage, couple turnovers that you referenced. Now a schedule with the Bears, Steelers, Jaguars, Titans coming up. Still a chance to get right, but you look up now, you're already two games behind Houston.
The Browns outslugged the Jaguars 18-3 to get to 1-1. Deshaun Watson was better in this game. Better than terrible is okay, but that's still better. 24 of 34, 186, ran for a touchdown. Jerry Jeudy led the Browns, 5 catches, 73 yards. Myles Garrett had one of the Browns' 4 sacks of Trevor Lawrence. Speaking of Lawrence, 14 for 30 passing for Jacksonville, going 1 for 4 in the red zone. Bad start to the year for Lawrence. Jacksonville's 0-2. The Giants are taking on the Browns this week. Meanwhile, Jacksonville hits the road for Monday Night Football Game 1 in Buffalo against the 2-0 Bills. The head coach of the Browns in the win column, Kevin Stefanski.
Yeah, we battled, and we knew Mary Kay coming down here that they were going to have to battle, and in the run game battle and the pass game battle, because that's a very good front. I mean, they have some very, very good players up front. So, again, I just go back to, it wasn't pretty all the time. Doesn't have to be. It just has to be a team committed to getting better.
Hashtag battle. This is who I thought Cleveland was going to be. Week one was such an aberration. They got destroyed by Dallas. But I thought they would be, them and Pittsburgh are doing the Spider-Man meme to each other. Bad quarterback play, great defense, some physical play on offense here and there, and you're going to, yes, battle around. They gave Jacksonville fits on that side of the football. That's who I thought Cleveland was going to be. What's the ceiling for that? I don't know in that division, but this is kind of the Cleveland I signed up for.
The Vikings upset the 49ers 23-17 in Minneapolis in a home win. Justin Jefferson, 133 on 4 grabs, 97 on this one catch.
The Viking defense, second down 9. Darnold getting messy, going deep. He's got Jefferson. He's got Jefferson. It's a foot race downfield with Brown. Shifting gears. Getting a block. That's 6.
Kevin Harlan on the call for CBS, but you already knew that. Sam Darnold, solid. 268 and a couple of touchdowns. Ty Chandler ran 10 times for 82 yards. Brian Flores, what a plan defensively for Minnesota. 5 sacks, turned Brock Purdy over 2 times. Before an injury to Deebo Samuel, he caught 10 passes for 110 yards. Jordan Mason ran for a buck. Second straight week, he's hit 100 yards or more rushing. San Francisco's at the Rams. There's going to be a lot of stars not playing in that game. And my favorite game of week 3 early on, the Vikings host the Texans. If they can somehow beat Houston, they will prove that they are legit at 3-0.
Yeah, they are in business now. And Brian Flores, take a bow. You already touched on it. But did you know that Patrick Jones II, for example, has already tied his career high in sacks with 4 through a couple of weeks? The plans that Brian Flores is executing are ridiculous. There was a look I saw this, I can't remember who posted it, where there are 9 guys within a yard of the line of scrimmage, 1 single high safety deep. And the person doing the analysis goes, this is a Tampa 2 look from Minnesota. Meaning, the 2 safeties bail out, the middle linebacker bails out to the middle, and you're able to cover all this different kind of stuff and force everything in front of you. And that's not what a Tampa 2 looks like before the snap, but that's what they were able to do. They're disguising things and tricking people right now. They've given San Francisco fits. I think it's 2 straight years, right? They've beaten San Fran.
Yeah, last year in San Francisco on Monday night, and then this game on Sunday. Seahawks squeaked out a physical win in New England 23-20. The Patriots are better than we thought they'd be. But they let the Seahawks off the hook? Question mark. Geno Smith, 33 of 44 for 327 and a touchdown. DK Metcalf, 14 targets, 10 catches for a buck 29 and a score. Jackson Smith and Jigba, JSN, 16 targets, 12 grabs, 117 yards. 30 of 33 passes from Geno Smith, or I should say 44 passes, but 30 of his targets went to Metcalf and Njigba. Pretty awesome. No Kenneth Walker, so Zach Charbonnet carried the ball. Ran 14 times for 38 yards, did score. New England got a decent outing from Jacoby Brissett, 15 of 27, 149 in the score. Antonio Gibson, our old friend, was the Patriots' leading rusher with 96 yards had a 45-yard run. Ramondre Stevenson toted the ball 21 times. DK Metcalf, have a day.
Second down at 5. Smith sets, fires downfield, wide open. Metcalf, touchdown. 56 yards.
New England's really impressive. I thought they would be contending with Carolina for the top pick in the draft. They're not. They're not good. I'm not telling you I've seen the start of the second Patriots dynasty post Belichick and Brady, but they are competitive, man. They probably should have won this game too. They should probably be 2-0, but they have been tough, competitive, without much on offense. Hunter Henry's the leading receiver with 8 catches for a 109. Jalen Polk, who was all the rage as a rookie, only had 2 receptions. They can't really throw it down the football field, but they're finding a way to compete in these games. So tip of the cap there for Seattle, a sneaky little 2-0 start.
The Jets outlast the Titans 24-17 in Nashville. Braylon Allen scored the game-winning touchdown on a 20-yard run with 4:31 to play.
And normally, Rodgers in complete command in those situations. Rodgers looking.
End zone! Touchdown! Breece Hall pulls it in!
Both Jets running backs scoring in this game. Breece Hall on the touchdown from Aaron Rodgers there. Jets for +2 in takeaways. Rodgers' first win in New York threw for 176 and a pair. Hall, by the way, had 7 catches for over 50 yards, including that tutty. Will McDonald, 3 sacks for the Jets. Will Levis, another terrible play. Remember last week it was the awful pick six? This week he was falling down and threw backwards, basically rolled a ball on the ground that was a loose football and a fumble, not corralled by his target. And so it was a red zone turnover, and there were cameras that picked up Brian Callahan, his head coach, asking him, what the bleep are you doing? Except he didn't say bleep.
He didn't bleep, no.
The Jets host the Patriots with a shot to get to 2-1 in Thursday Night Football matchup this week, and the Titans host Green Bay without Jordan Love. Good opportunity for them to get a surprising win.
Titans defense is pretty tough, but offensively, it just, you know, it's a matter of time before Levis makes some horrible mistake or they have some kind of drive-killing kind of moment. They're not there. They're not ready to be any good just yet. They've been competitive in both of their games. Of course, now both losses.
Cardinals ripped the Rams 41-10. Kyler Murray threw 4 incompletions, 3 touchdowns in the game, 266 through the air, and Marvin Harrison Jr. got going after a silent week 1, 130 yards on 4 catches with 2 touchdowns, all in the first quarter. He had more yards in the first quarter than his dad ever had in any quarter in his Hall of Fame career.
Fake to Connor. Murray on the rollout. Looking deep for Harrison! Marvin Harrison Jr. to the end zone! Touchdown again!
That's a hell of a call from Adam Amin on Fox. James Connor, 21 for 122. On the ground, did score. The Rams, now without Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua in the passing game. They've got San Francisco without stars. Arizona-Detroit, as we mentioned, a fun matchup this weekend.
Arizona validated what they did for most of the game, I would say, week 1 on the road in Buffalo. They were really impressive. They beat up a Rams team. Everybody, if you had a DFS stack going, a little James Conner, Kyler Murray, Marvin Harrison, you probably were in the money with what those guys did. That was unbelievable. What a dominant performance.
Steelers limped past the Broncos 13-6. They've won each of their games now. Pittsburgh has, despite 1 touchdown on the season.
It's so Steelers-y.
6 field goals in week 1. I mean, call the Commanders. They're stealing their script. And then this week with the 1 touchdown, that was enough. So 8 field goals for their 9 scores from Chris Boswell, but they're still 2-0. Defense picked Bo Nix twice. T.J. Watt wrecked the game against the Falcons. A little more quiet, but did have another sack in this one. Pat Freiermuth, the leading receiver from Justin Fields, 4 catches, 39 yards. Speaking of Fields, after the game, he said Russell Wilson was going to be celebrated, the former Bronco.
Yeah, I mean, I think we all know Russ got kind of did dirty last year, so I know he wish, you know, he could have played today in this game, but it's awesome, you know, getting that win for him. He got a petty game ball, so it's great getting it done for us, for sure.
A petty game ball, it was called.
Now,
which I love.
I don't know if anyone got did dirty or done dirty or whatever. I will tell you, I love this. I love that sort of thing where you're looking out for your teammate, right? Like, whether you believe that there was an injustice done to Russell Wilson or otherwise, it doesn't matter. Whatever unites you, unites you. Find a common enemy and go to battle. I thought that was pretty cool.
Bo Nix in this game, the leading rusher for the Broncos. That's going to have to change. He ran for 25 yards. Josh Reynolds, 93 as a receiver. Pittsburgh's got the Chargers. Denver is at Tampa Bay. Let's go to the game of the weekend, and that was the Chiefs and the Bengals in Kansas City, where the Chiefs won via a pass interference on Cincinnati late, set up a Harrison Butker game-winning field goal from 53 yards. Isaiah Pacheco was injured in this game. Before that, though, he's going to be out for several weeks. He ran 19 times for 90 yards. Pat Mahomes picked off twice, 18 of 25 for just 151 and two scores. Rashee Rice caught a long touchdown. He went for 75 and that score. Joe Burrow finally gets it going for the Bengals in week two, 258 and two through the air. Bengals couldn't run it, though, with Zach Moss just 12 for 34 on the ground. Their leading receiver was Mike Gesicki, 7 grabs for 91 yards. Ja'Marr Chase, still library quiet, 4 grabs, 35 yards for him. Zach Taylor not enjoying a final sequence that saw his team fall to 0-2.
I mean, you know, it's one of those plays where we may benefit from something like that at some point this season. That's what I told our guys. So, you know, they're calling it like they see it. I thought they called a very fair game. And they saw that as a penalty, so they called a penalty. And our defense still did a great job, you know, not giving them any yards after that. So I was proud of the way that they kept battling, because that's an emotional kick right there on fourth and long. And they came out and they got three really good stops, and then they got a good kicker, and he made it. So that's really just what the game comes down to.
I know Cincinnati lost this game, and they're frustrated and ticked off about that. That went a long way to kind of validating that it's okay to have expectations there. I know they're 0-2. They're not an 0-2 team. I know that's what they are, because that's what the record is.
They better win Monday night or they're cooked.
Seriously, but week one, you're going, oh my God, they're broken. What's wrong with the Bengals? They'll be just fine. They're going to win more games than they lose this year.
And finally, on Sunday Night Football, the Texans beat the Bears 19-13. Caleb Williams sacked 7 times and intercepted twice. He has really struggled through two games. C.J. Stroud is not. He threw for 260 and a touchdown. Nico Collins putting on a show. 10 targets, 8 catches, 135 yards.
Second and long. Stroud throws in the middle. It's Collins. Flag is down as Collins goes to the end zone for a touchdown.
The outstanding Mike Tirico on the call on NBC. Stephon Diggs, 4 catches, 37 yards for the Texans. Joe Mixon, 9 for 25 on the ground. Houston only 4 for 14 on third down. Still one. Williams, as I said, through 2 contests now, yet to throw a touchdown. And those 2 interceptions loomed large. DJ Moore was clearly annoyed. 6 for 53 for him as a receiver. Chicago's at Indy. Someone's going to be 0-3. Houston, Minnesota, one of the top games of the weekend.
This is me saying this. Grant, you were right. Danny, you were wrong. You were right. I was wrong. Houston is good on both sides of the ball. That's a mature win right there. Their offense isn't doing what they wanted to do. Joe Mixon in week one ran for 1,000 yards. They couldn't really get the running game going. Doesn't matter. You got C.J. Stroud. He'll bail you out, make a couple plays. Nico Collins is awesome. That defense is better than I thought it was going to be. They are a force on that side. They're tough to deal with. You always have to worry about somebody wreaking havoc in the backfield. Houston is legit.
That's the fastest 16 minutes in radio. Our look back at the NFL game by game every single Tuesday. Next on Grant and Danny, speaking of Caleb Williams, you heard about Bo Nix in that recap as well. Jaden Daniels stacking up very favorably after a couple of weeks to the other two rookies who have been on the grass. We'll talk about that next on The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Have had long down and distance in this second half, and it's almost going to get longer. Williams got away from Hunter somehow, fires downfield, it's intercepted by Lassiter. Stays in bounds, and Kamari Lassiter takes it away.
Mike Tirico on the call on NBC on Sunday night. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on The Fan. That was Caleb Williams throwing one of his two interceptions in the game and his two picks on the season. Caleb Williams and Bo Nix don't stack up with Jaden Daniels through just two games. And maybe it's too early, eight quarters, to start really comparing and contrasting these rookies. But if you just put them side by side, Danny, and we'll go through some of the numbers here, one is not like the others. Whatever you think of Daniels and what he's done through two games, he has been decidedly better than those other two guys to this point.
Without question. And one of the things I've, and I still feel this way, by the way, but one of the drums that I beat so consistently and so loudly through the offseason is I needed this organization, talking about Washington, to be way more like Chicago, to look at my quarterback and go, the entire future rests with him. Let's do everything we possibly can to support him. That's offensive line. That's weaponry. That's everything geared towards his success. Not maybe he could run a little bit more here and there, but I mean, long-term, and even with the disparity, I would take even Keenan Allen was out this past weekend, but even without him, I would take Chicago's skill guys 50 times out of 50 over what Washington has, especially on the outside. And even with that, what Jaden Daniels has done through a couple games, to me, makes it that much more impressive.
Yeah, I totally agree. Daniels has completed 75% of his passes, Williams 56% and Nix 59%. Now, a lot of that has to do with how horizontal Kingsbury's called plays. In fact, this past weekend, as an example, I think it was 16, maybe it was 13 of their 29 throws were behind the line of scrimmage. Having said that, it could be misleading to say he's completing 75% just because of how easy the assignment is. It still tells you they have a better plan for this guy. It still tells you that Kingsbury is doing a better job getting the ball out of his hand, giving him easy targets and throws than Shane Waldron is doing for Caleb Williams or Sean Payton is doing for Bo Nix, because the job is completions. The job is to get the football to your playmakers in space. Washington went RPO heavy early in game two. We didn't see that as much in game one. That was the wide receiver screen stuff that you kept seeing. But maybe the Bears and the Broncos should mix that in a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Bo Nix, early on, especially in week number one, I can't remember what the total was, but he threw, you know, what it was like 50 times for 80 yards or something ridiculous. Right. I'm exaggerating. But they tried to open it up a little bit as they were trailing, and it went really poorly in week number two especially. But this is kind of what you should be doing at this stage, right? We're trying to build a house, and you don't build the top floor first, right? Eventually, I'd loved, you know, the instant you recognize a certain set of coverage, hey, I've got something I can dial up where we'll throw it 80 yards down the field. Eventually, I'd love to be able to do that here and there. But at this stage, this is how it should be built. They're doing a good job.
Well, it's also just what works a lot of the time, well, yeah, and what a lot of offenses do. Patrick Mahomes is notorious, seems negative, but is famous for this. You know, he's one of the low average depth of target guys a lot of the time, including this year in the NFL. Didn't used to be the case with Tyreek Hill, but now with Kelce not really beating people vertically, you know, it's a lot of screens, it's a lot of stuff around the line of scrimmage, and they do take a couple shots a game, and hopefully Washington gets to a point where they do as well. Amazingly, through two games, none of these three guys has thrown a touchdown pass. That's hard to fathom, to be completely honest.
Yeah.
And I know you keep mentioning how few touchdowns there are around the league. They still get thrown all the time.
Yeah, it's still wild.
I mean, none of these guys has thrown one. J.J. McCarthy and Drake May are tied for the touchdown lead, having not played. Like, that's insane to
me. It is crazy. But, you know, for just by way of argument, Brian, not argument, but because it's zeros or zeros, Brian Robinson got tackled at the half-yard line on a catch and run. Sure. There are moments. It's still wild that no one has a touchdown pass yet.
I mean, I'm sure you could play that game for every quarterback.
Totally.
Add some touchdowns to their total.
Totally.
Daniels does not have an interception. That is a big deal. I'm fired up about that.
Mm-hmm.
They also haven't really asked him to throw into any small windows. Like, how many times have they threw contested passes? I remember the 50-50 ball to Ertz on the 21-yard completion he lobbed as he got hit. That's the only ball I remember even being kind of turnover-worthy. But he hasn't really, they haven't worked the middle of the field much, so there hasn't been a whole lot into windows that was even interceptable. But again, that's a good thing, not a bad thing, largely, with a young quarterback. Williams has the two picks. Nix has four interceptions already. I think the fact that Jaden Daniels doesn't have a single turnover through two games is perhaps the biggest deal and maybe the best thing you can say. Sack percentage, Nix is the only guy who's avoided sacks, you know, very effectively at 4.9%. Caleb Williams is getting sacked 12% of the time. Jaden Daniels about 12% of the time as well, 11.7, narrowly better. But I'll say this, Caleb Williams in that game against the Texans on Sunday night, Jay Gruden was talking about this with us in his guest spot yesterday. He got absolutely annihilated by the pass rush in a way that we haven't really seen Jaden have to deal with yet, or Nix for that matter. So I don't know that that's necessarily completely a Williams problem, but he holds the ball a lot. He runs around. He tries to do the hero thing where he makes plays. Like, he had a sack for minus 19 already. Daniels does not do that. He's not running backwards and trying to create and making plays worse. He generally makes a decision and tucks it and runs and gets closer to the line of scrimmage and loses three or four. Whereas Caleb Williams on these sacks, it's some big-time losses, too.
Yes. So there was one that very sort of very evidence of kind of what you're talking about. There's a play where Jaden Daniels probably should be sacked for like minus 10, 11, 12 yards. He scrambles away. It was one of the best 3-yard losses I've ever seen.
Right?
It's a sack in the book. He got sacked. That's what happened. But it turned a drive-killing, overwhelming negative, oh my God, what are we doing, to, hey, we have a second down here. We have third down. We still have a chance on this possession. And that, to me, is kind of the special stuff that gets hidden in some of the numbers.
That is the special sauce, for sure. I still, on that play, such an easy play to throw out of bounds there and to just get a 0-yard
game. Yeah, once you're out of trouble, totally right. Yeah.
But he still, to your point, instead of a minus 11, made it a minus 4. And just getting out of the sack was amazing. Intended air yards. So this is where you can see that Cliff Kingsbury's plan, which has been effective and working, is different than the other coaches. Caleb Williams is intending passes on average 7 yards downfield. Bo Nix, 7.5 yards downfield. Jaden Daniels, 4 yards downfield. Completed air yards. Williams is dead last in the NFL at his completions on average, being 2.4 yards downfield.
Mm-hmm.
Jaden Daniels is second to worst in the NFL at this at 2.8. Bo Nix at 4.1 has pushed the ball down the field more, but with that has come what? The interceptions, the mistakes. I think the plan is good. It's working. Now, if it's still this way in 10 weeks and you're frustrated, cool, no problem. I understand that. But What did we talk about all offseason? Yep. You don't want him holding the football. You don't want him taking shots in the pocket. You don't want him having to navigate the pocket a whole lot. You know, the pressure to sack stuff. Get the ball out. Get it in space. So, yeah, it's a real low IAY. It's a real low CAY in terms of completed and intended air yards or whatever. So what? He's completing 75%, and you're moving the football. Washington has the highest percentage of drives where they've gotten a first down in the league. Almost three-quarters of their drives. Like, the highest percentage of not going three and out, essentially.
Which is huge.
And turning first and tens into another first and ten. They've been best in the league. Now they have to finish and find a way. And by the way, we talked about all that stuff. That's all passing, where Daniels has been better than those other guys. Collectively, easily number one of the three. That's not even to get into the rushing, where he's got 132 rushing yards and two touchdowns. Nix has 60 yards and a touchdown. Williams has 59 yards and a touchdown. But he's accounted for two first downs with his feet. Nix for five. Daniels for 10. So he's been a better rusher, and he's done a better job throwing the football. Again, not going to get you a whole lot because Williams has been bad, and so has Nix. But I just think it's important every now and then to take inventory on. There's three rookie quarterbacks playing, and the one in Washington's been the best. And it even seems like, even though we're not in love with Kingsbury yet, with how he does things pre-snap, it seems like he is doing the best job helping his quarterback so far, too.
Well, it also brings the plan into clearer focus, where for Williams, it's, dude, be a gunslinger. Go do you. Be Brett Favre 2.0. We don't care. Throw it. For Daniels, it's, if it's 50-50, we'd rather you not. That seems to be the coaching point. Now, whether we don't know that yet, 100%, but through a couple of weeks, that's what it seems to be, right? We'd rather you not risk it. We'd rather take care of the football. We'd rather ground than pound a little bit more. And that's borne out in the numbers.
Our double play is next. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. I've got something that Danny Ruye and his team absolutely have to hear. With Danny, I'm Grant. This is The Fan, the double play coming your way on G&D. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. Each and every day driven to you by your local Washington area Honda dealer. Stopping for a great deal on the rugged and capable Honda Pilot. Contact your local Washington area Honda dealers today. Remember, at 5 o'clock, about an hour and 10 minutes out, our buddy Austin Eckler joins the show for his weekly appointment. Had a touchdown called back that would have been a 98-yard return to the crib. We'll ask him about that and the rest of his pretty strong performance against the Giants. We are now 12 minutes away from giving away tickets to the HF Festival right here on The Fan at 4 o'clock, so make sure you're listening. Let's get to the double play.
All right, I'll try to make this fast because I know you have one very special. This happened. My kid's buddy and parents, okay? So the kid tells his mom, he's one of these kids, great kid, but he's one of these kids that's like, hey, I can't go to bed yet. I need another cracker. I need another drink of water. I need something. So
my kid.
Yeah. So like every kid ever, right? So he comes into his parents' room and says, I hear something. And they're going, no, you don't. Go to bed. Comes back 10 minutes later. I'm telling you guys, I hear something. No, you don't. Go to bed. Third time, I hear something. Fine, we'll look. Come in, turn the lights, run through the rigmarole, look in the closet, look up here, look, see, there's nothing, go to bed, be quiet. Don't hear from the rest of the night, no problem. The next day, dad is at home working. He hears scratching. He's going, uh-oh, maybe an animal. Happens, right? Happens to the best of us, worst of us, whatever. So he starts looking around, can't find anything. Gets to the point that it's disrupting him trying to work from home. So he calls, like, you know, not animal control, but like a pest service company. They come over, hear that, and they go, yeah, it's probably like a squirrel that's gotten in and can't get out, or a raccoon or something like that. Well, they go everywhere that they can go. At ducks, crawl spaces, etc. They can't find any trace of any animal. No droppings, nothing left behind. This is mystifying. What to do? No one thinks about it, right? So we move on. A couple days later, the kid's in bed. He comes into his parents' room one more time and goes, I hear an animal in my room. They're going, now they take it serious, right? So now all the lights are on. They're looking around. They can't find anything. Like, it's big enough that it's making sounds. He's like, they're like, what could this possibly be? What sort of animal is making these noises? So the kid's uncomfortable, obviously, no problem. So he goes to sleep in a different room, and they try to figure it out. So now they're racking their brain trying to figure out what this thing could possibly be. This is now days. They're posting. Has anyone seen anything like this in the neighborhood? Has anyone heard of anything like this? What is going on? What is happening? They get to the point where they look at, like, Ring doorbell and, like, security camera footage from neighbors and their own little camera that's, like, pointed out at their deck or whatever. Slowly but surely, over the they're looking at hours and hours of video, like, over days from, like, various folks. They think maybe they spot something, but they're not even sure. Next thing you know, the next day, after the last time where the kid slept in a different room, he walks into his dad's office. His dad is working. His dad hangs up the phone. The kid walks in holding a cat. A cat snuck into their home and was living under his bed for the better part of 4 days. They couldn't find it no matter where they looked or how they looked. And now they're like, does anyone know whose cat this is? There's no tags on it. Does anyone know the cat? So the cat had found this place under the kid's bed and was just living there for basically a week.
That's wild.
And they finally found that, like one incident on security footage where somebody like, was taking out the trash, didn't seal the door shut behind them, and the stupid cat comes out of nowhere, sprints into the house, and like took up residence for 4 days.
That's a lengthy investigation.
Yes.
Also ends way better than it could have.
I know. So I wouldn't have brought it up. It was like a horrible ending for like a kid.
I thought like snake or...
That's what I thought too, honestly.
What's the thing I hate with the beady eyes and the long tail?
Possum?
Possum.
Oh, they're just disgusting.
Something like that. Possum under your bed's not very fun. A cat.
A cat.
Like a
somebody's
cat.
Like
a cute one?
Nope. Okay. A gross, terrible one because they're all awful. Only some are less awful.
Cat guy.
Not a cat guy at all. Cats stink and everyone knows it. This is one of those... You know how like when cats are very puffy? And they look worse. It's like that.
I'm familiar, yeah.
It's a puffy cat. It's not even that like nice cat.
Sounds like a Yogi Ferrell cat to me.
Mm-hmm.
Possibly.
Mm-hmm.
All right, it's time for my double play. I should save this because, frankly, there's a lot of meat on this bone. There's just not a lot of time. But we'll get to it. NASA is monitoring an asteroid. This is my team over at NASA, as you guys know. Danny supposedly has this team because he's worried about the fact that we'll never know if we're going to get hit and an asteroid can hit us at any second. And my point is, we got a team on this. It's called NASA. It's my team. They're over there working on it. They have located an asteroid that could collide with Earth, Danny. It happened. They finally found one.
What do you mean, finally?
Well, it could collide with Earth. It's on a trajectory where it could happen on Valentine's Day in 2046. Now, that's 22 years away. They're not overly concerned. Because there's a 1 in 400 chance that this rock will hit Earth 2 years from now. Mm-hmm. 22 years out, 1 in 400 chance. But I tell you this to tell you, not that you should be worried about this. We're going to figure this out together. But, you know, it could happen at any moment. Nobody ever knows. Why aren't we spending any money? We're spending all the money. It's no problem. 22 years in advance, we know that there's a chance, 1 out of 400, that a rock could hit us. And we haven't even started to deploy my team to fix this because I actually have a plan.
You don't have a plan.
No, I have a great plan.
You're going to play the Armageddon soundtrack and you're going to pretend that Harry Stamper is a character and he's not real.
I'm not going to do
that. Everyone makes fun of it, including people that were in it.
Whenever you're done, I'll tell you my plan.
All right,
Are you done?
I mean, I know what's going to happen. You're going to do it. Everyone knows you're going to do it.
You don't know.
I know.
I have a real plan. You're trying to be dismissive.
Go ahead and do it.
My plan is we are going to find the best oil drillers in America.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to put them on a rocket ship.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're going to teach them over a couple of weeks to be astronauts. We are going to fly them with jet fuel out of the atmosphere. They will whip around. Colonel Willie Sharp will probably be the pilot and land on the rock. They will then be riding toward us at thousands of miles per hour on the rock. They won't know it. They're in space. They will drill to a 700-foot depth, led by, I think you guys know him, Harry Stamper.
Not a real person.
Harry Stamper has never missed his damn mark. And they will detonate into that 700-foot hole a nuclear warhead that will blow this rock into two pieces. We will do this by a set date ahead of this 2046 collision. Mm-hmm. That will propel both pieces of said rock past Earth, missing us narrowly on either side. Catastrophe averted. Don't you worry about a thing.
Again, this is what I said was going to happen. This one, in cosmic terms, this stadium-sized asteroid, by the way, is passing as close to us as, I don't know, a running back getting tackled at the one-inch line and close to the goal.
If there was a 1 in 400 chance that he was going to get tackled.
No, again, everything I'm saying is correct. I don't know what you're doing. That's how close this is. Think about how the vastness of space, you can't comprehend it because your brain's so small, right. But for the rest of us adults who aren't talking about a movie that everyone panned.
1 in 400 chance.
That's how close it's coming to us.
22 years
it's
away.
It's in our orbit, and we could figure that out. It's a good small step. We couldn't stop the one that hit in the Philippines a couple days ago, though.
If you could figure everything out, why didn't you help your friends get the cat out of their house in the first 4 days.
Hi-o. Well, that's not what the team's working on. The team is working on keeping
maybe
life going.
Maybe you could have gotten to the bottom of that old cat under the bed thing.
Keeping
for your pals.
Life going is what we're working on. You're not concerned, and you don't have to be. Your pretty little head can sit over there and
you know why I don't
watch
have to
your
be?
Dumb movie.
Two reasons. Why? One, 22 years out, a 1 in 400 chance we're on it. My team, it's called NASA. We got this thing covered. Two, I got the best oil drillers in America.
Again, you don't. I just want you to be honest that you don't.
Harry Stamper.
You don't have that.
Colonel Willie Sharp.
The guy that played, I mean, it's sad. Rock Bruce Allen. Willis, like, it's like, he's not healthy. You know what I mean? Like, the guy that played this stupid role isn't doing well.
Someone else will play the role.
Someone else will just
Harry
take it over.
Harry Stamper. Yeah. This time it'll be Jason Statham. We will land on
Jason
that damn rock.
Imagine.
And we will eject a nuclear warhead into the middle of that sun bitch.
Mm-hmm.
And we're fine. Everything will be fine.
Mm.
Anyways, my team's on it. It's called NASA. Don't you worry about a thing.
Yep.
We got you.
Space Rocks of Death.
I don't want to miss you, baby. Beltway Blitz comes your way next on G&D. Austin Eckler in 1 hour. And those tickets next, if you want them, to the HF Festival.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.